FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 12/15/2020. Well, lots of things going on in the world, to say the least. This dystopian upside down universe, which we are currently inhabiting, and no end in sight. Let's get some insight into it from none other than Rob Kirby, Kirby Analytics. We want your questions. We want your feedback. We want you to engage. Please send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com, and I will share it with Rob. So, Rob, welcome back. And wow, the CCP leak. There's 2 million CCP infiltrators in governments, universities, big corporations around the globe. How do we get to this point, and how do we get out of it?
Very good question, Kerry. We seem to be wading into deeper and deeper muck, and that was muck with an M, as we move along this very dystopian timeline. I mean, being from Canada, I'm saddened and disheartened to see the actions of the leader of my country, seemingly welcoming the communist Chinese military in for training or whatever it is they claim to be doing here. Unthinkable just a short while ago. And with the release of the 2 million names, as you mentioned just a moment ago, very saddened to learn that 20, and that's 20 sitting U.S. state governors happen to be members of the Chinese Communist Party. Who would have figured?
Yeah, who would believe it? Well, you know what George Carlin, the late comedian, once said? He said, it's all a big club and you ain't in it.
Well, unless you're waving a little red, one of Mao's little red books, that would appear to be very accurate, Kerry.
Yeah, and there doesn't seem to be any, well, obviously there's no desire for anyone to do anything. Look, three companies, Boeing, Qualcomm, and Pfizer, are riddled with dozens of CCP members in their Chinese facilities and in their U.S. facilities, and nobody's concerned about it.
I mean, it's very sad, and it's brutal. You know, Kerry, moving on to matters to do with money and finance, has anyone been paying attention to the departure between the nominal price of gold and the nominal price of Bitcoin over the last 3.5 months?
I've noticed it.
The price of gold has gone down and the price of Bitcoin has doubled, in case you weren't paying attention. Anyway, I don't mind saying I have been stating that I view the precious metals and the cryptoverse as anti-dollar trades. And my view, certainly for a minimum of 9 months, has been that the anti-dollar trades will ultimately do exceedingly well, and the move up will be led by crypto, simply because the powers that be do not have the ability to retard the advance of cryptocurrencies nominal pricing the way they can with precious metals through COMEX and LBMA. And what is occurring on COMEX and LBMA on an almost daily basis is that COMEX and LBMA are applying the equivalent of a date rape drug to the precious metals, and they have their way with them. But the conduits to apply the date rape or roofie the cryptos does not exist, because the only futures contract into the cryptoverse happens to be an arcane, very lightly traded contract in Chicago for Bitcoin. So this radical departure and decoupling of gold from the crypto prices has been has stood out to me very much so, and it would appear to me that it's signaling that the powers that be prefer a digital future for money. And let's just see how that works out, because you see, in my books, I think that the precious metals, which will become increasingly a more physical market, a cash and carry market, I believe that the price of gold and silver have a lot of catching up to do, and I believe they will.
So when you say catching up, we're talking about major price appreciation, aren't we?
Yes.
Any ideas? I mean, I know nobody knows how much they could go up, but it looks like the scheme is getting harder and harder to keep going, if you will, to perpetuate, which is the purpose of any government bureaucracy. And as your fellow countryman Bob Hoy said, this is an instance where the government is creating unlimited amounts of money to finance unlimited amounts of government, and that always ends badly.
Well, Kerry, we have a limited insight as to how much money is being created. And that's largely reflected by the growth in the Fed's balance sheet. My thesis, or core to my general thesis, is that the amount of money being created is vastly greater than what is reported or understood to be by, let's just say, the keeper of monetary aggregates in America happens to be the St. Louis Federal Reserve. And their report on monetary aggregates would have us believe that the Fed's balance sheet has grown by roughly $3 to $4 trillion over the last 9 months. And that is supposedly a good measure of new money creation. My view on this, supported by the work of Dr. Mark Skidmore from Michigan State University and Catherine Austin Fitz, my view is that money growth is likely many tens of trillions bigger than what is reported. And this goes a long way to explaining why we have record stock market prices, despite half the economy being shuttered. We have record low yields on U.S. government debt, despite record issuance of debt. And this is all seemingly starting to play out a little bit, I believe, in the foreign exchange markets, where the dollar is either hugging or making multi-year lows as we speak.
Huh, that's interesting. So many times that, which means that the production of money, of units, we'll call it this way, digital dollars, is completely out of control. And if it was a physical product, it would kind of be like the toilet paper factory. Well, you know what? It kind of reminds me of I Love Lucy, that episode where she's on the chocolate assembly line and the assembly line gets out of control and she tries to eat all the chocolate. This is kind of what the Federal Reserve is going through now. They can't gulp up enough of the chocolate, and eventually the place is going to be flooded with money that'll be worth nothing.
Well, Kerry, in my view, what we are living through in real time, we have a financial edifice that I compare to Wile E. Coyote from the Looney Tunes fame. I believe that we have already run off the cliff. I believe that we are waiting for Wile E. Coyote to pull out his little umbrella and to pop it open and to look down, because there's a lot of air between where we are currently and the ground.
Yeah. So what are they going to do next? Is that why we go to digital currencies? Because nobody believes anything that anyone says anymore, and they lose all credibility?
Well, Kerry, in my heart of hearts, I believe that if the powers that be have their way, we very likely would move to a probably a Chinese dominated or controlled digital dystopian totalitarian communist regime, because the 20 traitorous governors, along with the traitorous leader of my country, they seem very committed to their communist Chinese masters. And my view is that this must be stopped. And my view is that humanity's best chance at stopping this is very likely Donald Trump and his invoking the military or the military-esque Insurrection Act, where the military, or let's just say at least a stylized military military rule regime must be installed, so that a functioning U.S. Constitution can be reinstated, because America is not living in accordance to their own constitution, in my view, right now.
Yeah, there's no question about that. We've long, for many decades, strayed, and eventually, this was kind of inevitable where we find ourselves now. And hey, the Chinese are ready to blow up too. I mean, the amount of damage that Trump has inflicted upon them during the past 4 years is immeasurable. And then they've got a lot of natural disasters taking place or about to take place. So looking to them to lead is probably a really bad idea, not to mention all the human rights issues, which I don't undercut in the least. They are a real bane on civilization, the Chinese way. From involuntary organ donations to concentration camps to re-education camps to so many things that they're doing that are just really crimes against nature and yes, crimes against humanity.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
But it's a very nice fit with the Democratic Party. and the rhinos, I have to say too, because let's just say the communist sympathizers are not purely Democrats. There are lots of rhinos in there as well. And in case anybody doesn't know the moniker rhino, that would stand for Republican in name only, because the lucre of communist Chinese money seems to know no bounds. And it seems to have bought a lot of affection and compliance, not only in your country, but in mine too, and everywhere in the Western
around the world. UK. So it's going to be interesting. I haven't seen the full list of people who are members of the CCP, but it's shocking. 20 governors, and that corresponds to 20 Democrat governors, although I believe the governor of Georgia is a Republican, so he's got to be on the list, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, of course, Gruesome Newsom is on the list.
He's number one.
I was actually, frankly, I was shocked to hear that the governor of Texas was also on the list.
Really?
Huh. To me, that was a punch to the gut.
Shocking. But Texas has the least powerful governorship in the country. The legislature only meets twice a year, and the only real power the governor has is the ability to call special sessions. Actually, the lieutenant governor, in some ways, holds more power, and the Texas Railway Commission actually is the most powerful agency because they set the quotas for oil producers. And Texas is a really strange case. One person I'm sure is not on the list is the governor of Florida, my state.
No, absolutely he was not. And I paid attention. I listened to the list being read off last night, and Florida was absolutely not on the list. A number of states I recall were Texas being one. I believe Georgia was on the list. California was on the list. Kentucky was on the list. Utah was on the list. Illinois was on the list. Yep. Maine was on the list.
Don't forget New York.
Actually, no, New York was not on the list.
Well, they don't need Cuomo to be a card-carrying member. Let's face it. He's just carrying out all their policies anyway. So it would kind of be superfluous for Cuomo to be on there. You know, I'm laughing, but it's really a major tragedy.
Yeah, no, as somebody has said at one point in time, what a fine mess we're in, Ollie.
Yeah, I remember Laurel and Hardy, and I often say that to people. But on the other hand, it comes back to me what my partner used to say to me, Kerry, the situation is hopeless, but never serious. So I think it's serious here, but who the heck knows? Anyway, Canada, the great country, is selling us voting machines that can't seem to count votes properly here. Rob, what's going on with Dominion voting systems? Are they just a communist front as well?
In all honesty, it would appear that you hit the nail right on the head, that Dominion voting is a complete and utter communist front. But if one looks at the history that we know about regarding Dominion vote, this is technology that originally came from Venezuela, which was originally developed by Hugo Chavez, the dictatorial leader of the late dictatorial leader of Venezuela, who had these voting machines and the software that operate them. This was developed so that Hugo Chavez could remain in power indefinitely in Venezuela and would never be subject to being voted out of office. So it was designed with that purpose in mind, and then it was exported, and it's been exported around the world. And as has been revealed in the aftermath of your recent election, we learned that a month before your recent election, that the Chinese Communist Party effectively took control of Dominion by injecting over $400 million into their coffers through a Swiss conduit, UBS Securities,
yes,
a month before your elections.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence, Rob. You know, nothing to see here. Move along. Well, I guess we're going to find out exactly what Trump's response is going to be at some point, if there is a response. I find it interesting that that the Attorney General resigned yesterday. And
You think he resigned?
Yeah, well, he got quit. I'll never forget. I'm in college, and a friend comes up to me and says, "Well, I'm no longer working." And I said, "What happened?" And he said, "I got quit."
I will use that. Thank you.
Yeah, he got quit. So, and it's always stuck in my mind ever since, because God knows how many people worked for me that got quit during their incompetent tenure.
So, Kerry, and he isn't the only one who got quit. Have you noticed the changes, the wholesale changes?
Yes.
That Trump has made in the military and in the intelligence areas. Mm-hmm. Is he behaving like somebody who's leaving office on January 20th? Is my question to you.
All right. And that is a great question that we shouldn't answer here, because a certain one of our digital overlords will ban this and probably kick me off the channel.
But it is noteworthy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting, like all the changes and the fact that we've been warned that that he's going to refuse to leave office by the other side for months now. They've said he's not going to leave. And obviously this this organization, this effort has been underway for many, many months to assure the very outcome that we in fact saw. So we'll leave it at that. But Rob, so at what point do precious metals really take off? Because if the U.S. has minted trillions and tens of trillions more than they admit, and I believe you're correct, for the simple reason that all the foreign banks have had a run as far as dollars go because their currency is worth even less, then China must have created hundreds of times more currency units than they have admitted as well.
Here, here. As to when the price of metals in nominal terms take off, Kerry, my view is that it will happen, and the timing of it is tricky because we have perpetrators that have a medicine cabinet full of date rape drug, namely LBMA and COMEX, to date remain viable. And my feeling is that with what likely comes for the dollar, because I believe that the dollar is going to take an enormous tumble here at some point, and I feel it could ensue at any time. And let's just say the shelf life for the dollar as the world's reserve currency is shortening by the day. And at some point, when the dollar loses its mantle as the world's reserve currency, my view is that the ability of COMEX and LBMA, which are dollar-centric entities, and when they lose their ability to be the price setter, precious metals will move globally to a cash and carry basis, and the futures will be ignored and become irrelevant. And when the futures market for metals becomes irrelevant, the nominal price of metals will go up dramatically.
And it, in fact, the nominal price might become irrelevant too.
Well, that's possible because I do believe hyperinflation is in our future, and I believe in the relatively near future. So the money's being created, and we have to be patient. And all I can say to people who have grown weary with the prospects of metal, and when people look at crypto holdings, which have doubled in maybe the last 3 or 4 months, with metals that have either remain stagnant or decline slightly in value. My view is that there will be payback. I think you have to remain vigilant as a precious metals holder. There are people who say that crypto is the new, or Bitcoin in particular, some people say is the new gold. I believe that there's space in anyone's well-diversified portfolio to have a crypto component. But I don't see the historic function of precious metals being an exceptional store of value in the face of monetary debasement. I don't see that being relinquished at any time in the near future.
I totally agree with you. Could not agree with you more, Rob. The barbarous relic is still pretty barbarous, and it ain't such a relic as far as relics go. It's still being used. It's still, to some extent, is an underpinning of the financial system. And Rob, just tell us where we find your work, how we connect with you on the web these days.
You catch me on the web at KirbyAnalytics.com.
All right. Must reading for sure, Rob. It's always so great to have you on. And hey, we'll see how this thing shakes out. And it's going to shake out, that's for sure. Any questions for Rob or myself, we'd be delighted to get them at kl@kerrylutz.com. And make sure you get your free newsletter by going to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Rob, always a pleasure. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners, Kerry.
Hey, you too, Rob. Thanks so much.
Be good.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.